You are listening to Light Up Your Worth with Breakthrough Catalyst Coach Debbie McAllister as we talk about money consciousness, mindset, and raising our vibrations. She believes that when you own your own worth, the light shines through you with abundance. Each week, she will provide resources to guide you into greater abundance and more freedom while disconnecting from the scarcity mindset. This podcast is here to provide engaging and heart-centered conversations that offer so much worth, they'll motivate you and light up your worth.
Hello, this is Debbie, and this is Light Up Your Worth. Welcome back. I'm so excited to bring this week's episode to you. Have you ever felt like the whole world of bookkeeping is just something that you can't grasp? Well, you're not alone. My guest this week is here to help. I sat down with Reagan, who is the numbers witch bookkeeper, to help demystify this often intimidating area. With her unique approach, she shed some light on understanding financial reports, making sense of accounting principles, and even manifesting money with a positive mindset. So whether you're just starting out or you're already an established entrepreneur, this conversation with Reagan is a must listen to change your perspectives on money and take control of your financial future. Thank you for being here. I'm always so excited to share. Hello, this is Debbie, and you are listening to Light Up Your Worth. I am so excited to bring you this week's guest, Reagan Becerra. She is a numbers witch bookkeeper, and she conjures up empowerment for passionate, open-hearted entrepreneurs in the good old USA. She helps you track and organize your numbers to quickly build wealth while aligning with your principles and ethics. Wealth allows you to take back your financial energy and start living out your big dreams. Welcome, Reagan.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Season 3 is all full of money consciousness, mindset. It's all about the financial and wealth mindset, as well as raising our vibration. And it's all related to this whole wealth consciousness, the money consciousness. I'm so excited about to have you here is that I believe in working with people who are more in the spiritual heart-centered type of entrepreneurs is that it's all that a lot of them think it's all about our just the mindset of if I think the positive thoughts and I say my affirmations, which are all part of it.
Yeah.
But they forget there's actually some practicality things that we have to go through when we talk about our money consciousness.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
I'm just really excited to have you share your perspective when you are working with your clients who are entrepreneurs. How do you empower them through looking at all of their data rather than wanting to avoid it or being fearful about jumping in to the numbers?
I do a lot of handholding with my clients. Money is a very emotional thing for a lot of people. Understandably, like I feel a lot of feelings about my money. And I sit down with, I want them to be able to read and understand their financial reports, their data. I'm a bookkeeper, but I call myself the numbers witch because I do believe that there is magic data. And by that, we can leverage your data. I can teach you to read it and actually understand what's going on. And from that empowered place, we can take you where you want in your business. It all comes back to what is the data telling us is the best decision? And how is that in alignment with your principles and your values for your business?
Mm-hmm. So tell me more about that. What type of reports do you help people run? As an entrepreneur, what are some of the basics that people should understand?
Just understanding really this tin or the basis on which we do accounting, which is the chart of accounts. That's lit out like all of your bank accounts, credit cards, expense categories, revenue categories to get that language on your chart of accounts really dialed into the language that you use every business. All of the reports and everything are going to be the same across businesses, across industries. But what I like to do is sit down and really listen to what my clients say about their business, tell me like their day-to-day experience, who their customers and clients are. And then I help them craft a set of books that is reflective of the business that they are running, but that they can actually read their reports. So when we look at their profit and loss statement, when we look at their balance sheet and statement of cash flow, the three big reports that I need you to be looking at, I want you to read that and actually understand what numbers mean. I want you to feel like you can relate to those numbers because the numbers are reflectiveness that you're running.
Now, this might be a basics for when people are listening to the podcast, they're like, we have no idea what you're talking about. What are those three, at a very high level, what are those three reports? Why are they important for an entrepreneur, even a heart-centered, spiritual-minded entrepreneur? Why are they so important for them to understand?
We are all transacting in our business. They're taking money from your clients or customers. You've got expenses. You pay money for things that you need to have in your business in order to run it. All of those transactions are actual financial data that I'm talking about. I'm talking about what kind of revenue is coming in for you, what kind of expenses you have going out. How did you fund the business in the first place? Did you invest personal funds, business started up, and to get equipment that you needed, marketing your business, advertising? What did you put into the business to invest in it to get started? All of those transactions are going to be reflected on those financial reports. The profit and loss statement shows us the total revenue that you have coming in, like what people are paying you during a time period. It also shows you what expenses you had during that time period. If you rent a space or if you work from home, the utility costs, a cell phone and office supplies. And then our balance sheet is a picture of our business at a moment in time. We get to take a look at whatever the cash balance in our account are. We get to look at whatever debts our business has, what kind of equipment or assets the business holds, what we've personally invested and withdrawn from the business. All of that is on the balance sheet. Our statement of cash flows is the third report, and that really shows us how cash flows through our business. Cash is coming in and flowing out. If we have a positive cash flow, that means we're retaining each month. Versus if we have a negative cash flow, that means cash is going out faster than we can bring it in. What those three reports cover, and I find that those three reports give us the most accurate picture of what's going on in your business. That is why I send my clients those reports. I sit down with them on an annual basis to look at them with my clients and analysis and some strategizing so that they can use that data to make good business decisions.
I like those examples. I think a lot of my listeners here on Light Up Your Worth are probably newer entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. They're in their first couple of years and maybe they're funding part of their business through their paycheck every month. Maybe they deposit a certain amount of money into their business bank account, which it's a hint if you're not, if you don't already have a separate bank account, my entrepreneur friends, please have a separate bank account. I deposit $200 from job income. And they put it into their business account. How do they manage that? How do you manage that with your clients?
That's a great question because it's so important that we really get those numbers correctly. If you are counting money that you personally invest from a job income, or whatever cash reserves you personally have, when we invest money into our business and just drop cash business account to pay bills, buy supplies, that needs to be recorded as your owner's investment. That is not income to the business. So we don't want it to be reflected as our reports. That would mean we end up paying more taxes on it. If it's come from a paycheck from your day job, it's already been taxed, right? That's already been counted somewhere. So when we invest money into our business, it is business income. That's an investment. And that shows up on the balance sheet. The same thing is true when you need to take money out of your business. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm in business to make money and to support myself income. So the business is growing. I have clients that pay me revenue. I have business expenses. Whenever it's time for me to get paid as the owner, I do what's called an owner's draw. I pretty much just transfer money from my business to my personal accounts to take care of personal bills. I'm married, I own a house, personal joint bills and things. So I just withdraw money from my business, which is not business expense. So classifying those things is very important. And that's how I handle it with my clients who are just sole proprietors. And if your audience is mostly folks that are new in business, chances are they're going to be a sole proprietor, a single member LLC. And in that case, we're taking owner's draw, like on an owner's salary from our business.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is really super helpful. I can't wait to hear your guys' feedback, listeners, on those of you who are like, what? And so as they're starting out, like maybe they didn't know that they should have their own bank account, right? Like a separate business bank account. What are some of the other things that you've seen when people are newer or they have no idea? Maybe because I have a lot of spiritual and coaches, people who do modalities, they may not have been near this business type of environment to even know. What are some of those basics that you ensure that your clients have?
When folks start out, I like to remind them that there is no revenue level that where we need to start bookkeeping and we don't have to do it up till that point. I've had folks ask, what revenue should I get to before I actually start tracking this? And I say, $0. Before people start paying you money, you need to have a system to track that money, that tracking who's paying you, what are you providing in terms of if it's coaching or spirituality kind of modality things. Those I would just consider services. So that'd be service revenue to you. And then you also need to have a good system to track your expenses. The expenses when it comes to tax time, that helps us reduce our business income. We get to take those deductions legally, go ahead and track them. And like you brought up, having a separate business bank account is so important. It makes things so much easier on whoever is doing the financial recording, whether that's you contract out bookkeeping services. Keep it separate. I like to say church and state should be like your personal stuff should go over here. Your business stuff should happen here. That's so we know anything that's had a business account is truly a business expense. Now, you go to the grocery store and in your business account and you need to buy groceries. That's fine. We would just record that as an owner's draw. It happened in your business account. But otherwise, doing that transfer out from your business, maybe every other week or once a month, deciding on maybe taking a regular draw or maybe looking at your profit and loss and saying, okay, I had a $2,000 profit last month. I'm getting $1,000 out so that some of it stays in my business and I get to reinvest it. And then so that comes to me as an owner's draw. There's a bunch of different ways you can do it, but keeping the monies for it, just it goes so far with the organization and with you really keeping track of what's happening with your business.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw another example out there is that as entrepreneurs, we're constantly investing in ourselves, whether we're learning, like I'm learning how to market to LinkedIn, where my ideal clients are, or I'm taking a new modality to increase my skill set for what I do, or I have a coach. Now, how does that fit into your types of expenses?
That's a great question. I actually truly believe in self-development as a business owner. I think that is so important to the health of your business, the lifetime of your business, growing your business, setting and achieving goals. I actually pay for business coaching myself. I needed a lot of sales in the beginning. So I actually do pay for a business coach to help me really show up myself. I see that as a true business expense. I am getting instruction and support in service of me growing my business. I see that as like 100% a business cost, and I deduct that on my tax. Doing continuing education for a new modality that you want to be showing up in your community or a new community with a new kind of service, that to me, direct cost of doing business. You are taking that education or you're taking or receiving that coach in order to be able to sell a new offer and provide a new service to a community. I just see that as a direct relation. And so I would argue for nearly anybody that we count that towards a tax deduction for your business.
Yeah, that's great to hear.
Yeah.
I know I take so much, right? Like constantly growing, evolving with my coaches and learning different modalities or improving a specific tactical skill set.
Yeah.
So I'm curious then, as you look at the whole balance sheet and you can see all the categories of the expenses, do you have, I don't know if it would be more general, but I had heard, for instance, somebody was using this to sell their course, was that because it was geared more towards marketing. And they said, your budget should include, and bricks and mortar companies seem to know this, is that 30% should be spent on marketing. A certain percentage, like we hear the budgets percentages, depending on who you listen to, and your housing should be 25 to 30% of your take-home pay, for instance. Are there general guidelines for somebody who's an entrepreneur? Because I think a lot of our listeners are not necessarily, they're more online, so they may not have been exposed to some brick and mortar, like kind of the basics, I would say. Do you have general guidelines for those categories that you see?
I would say that if somebody's in a particular industry, you can do a little bit of research and see other businesses are reporting as their like kind of percentages for those categories. It runs on the industry, I think. And I've known of people who are spiritual teachers or coaches even who never paid a cent for Facebook ads or any sort of pricing. It was all referral, word of mouth marketing that allowed them to grow their business. So there's no necessarily rules about, and by that laws, legally, you're not required to spend 30% of your revenue on marketing. Like you don't have anything like there. You can be creative about who you market to, how you sell your offers. But say that if you were looking at what you're spending money on in your business, what expenses you've got, and they were taking up a huge chunk of your revenue, you just might want to consider, is this really like actually serving my business in the way that I'm like paying this for it? What is that investment bringing to my business? What kind of value is that creating for me? And then for my clients or customers, like that, those are the questions that I would ask. And we have to do it when we sit down and we think about what we're spending money on, business or personal. How often do I really watch Netflix? Never. But like we all pay what's $15 a month and maybe watch like one movie a month. Is that a good return on your investment to be like entertained for a couple hours a month? And just considering whatever your personal values and beliefs are, to ask those questions with your values in mind, because I think we should all be focused more on operating in alignment with that.
Completely agree with you. In fact, I walk through a values exercise, even if somebody's did it a year ago, let's go through and identify what your values are right now. What they were last year could be a little different, or maybe they've shifted around in priority. We used to call it, go look at your checkbook, even though we don't, it's an old term, but it's the same thing. Go look at your downloads of your bank statements and see if it's aligned.
100%.
If you say building relationships, are you spending time going to events to actually meet people?
If education is a big thing for you, if you consider yourself, I myself as a lifetime learner, I'm like never going to be done learning, even about bookkeeping, QuickBooks or whatever. I'm never going to be done learning because there's always going to be another client that like a unique problem they come to me to solve. And so in that way, like me spending on coaching and education, like taking courses about how to better market and my business, to me, that's in alignment with my values. I'm a lifetime learner and it's important to constantly be investing in that. So,
And so how does looking at the data and understanding what we just went through at a really high level education on some basic bookkeeping stuff that they should be aware of, how does looking at this help us avoid all the fears that can come up? Because I know sometimes people are paralyzed by numbers.
Yeah.
How does this help us in our money consciousness?
As fascinating as this conversation is, we are going to pause for a moment and we'll be right back.
Imagine unlocking your heartfelt desires and moving forward with confidence and determination, knowing that I am in your corner, reflecting the blind spots that you can't see on your own, while creating a safe container to explore your next steps. Build your inner love for yourself through a spiritual coaching perspective. I will guide you on a path of inner acceptance so you can discover the unbelievable resources with yourself, partnering to activate your full expression so that you can live without limitations and manifest your dreams, dissolving the trapped emotions and beliefs that drive your behaviors and habits that are firmly stored in your conscious and subconscious minds, and helping you to further know yourself and have an expanded awareness of yourself. If you are ready to step up, step forward, and embrace life as your true self, book a discovery call with me from my website, lightupyourworth.net, under the service page of Work With Me. I can't wait to see you in our discovery call.
If they don't have kind of that personal support that maybe a bookkeeper, an accountant, or a financial advisor provide, it is a scary thing to face your numbers, like literally face the music. Your numbers are a reflection of how you operate your business. And it may be hard to take in that parts of the way that you run your business that aren't actually in alignment with your values. And for a lot of folks, there's some shame in it. There is fear about, I might owe a lot of taxes. But I don't think we're going to solve any of those emotions or feelings, not that they need to be solved. If you want to move out of shame into being confident or being proud of yourself or showing up for your clients in a way that really serves them, are you going to be able to do that shame? I personally don't think so. So if we're going to move out of shame, the first thing we need to do is actually just whatever it is that we are a little bit vulnerable about, vulnerable with being visible. So I really love to sit down with my people and just walk them. I'm seeing in their numbers. I usually ask them to tell me, like, does any of this information look wrong? Is this surprising to you? Did you expect to see something we're not seeing in your numbers? And usually they will tell me immediately, this is right, or I definitely bought a car that's not on here. And so investigate that together. So I see myself as like an advisor or partner in their business, because I sit down with them and do like that care task of holding space. Experience comes up when they're looking at their numbers. And if you don't have somebody that you're working with, I would just say that maybe doing some holding for yourself. If you are working with people or your audience is mostly like spiritual, they will already understand the concept of holding space for themselves or other people. And we really need to get into that kind of mindset whenever we are doing managing our finances, keeping our records organized. It doesn't need to be a deep dive. It needs to be a habit or a routine that we practice, that we get into the right mindset for, the curious mindset that is holding myself and not shaming myself, not beating myself up for any decision that I've made in my business. If I didn't get the outcome I wanted to from participating or purchasing something, I can hold space for myself and say, I thought that was going to work out. I thought that would be a good investment. It didn't turn out to be that way. And it's not that I need to be ashamed of. It is a learning experience, right? Mm-hmm. So I think folks like developing that habit or that routine, just like you do in a spiritual practice of full and getting curious about what's going on, is going to help you to overcome some of that fear and shame and like indecision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting that you reference guilt and shame, because I have found that the number one two emotions that is associated with holding people back, with their ability to call in more money or to call in those clients, the right clients, has to do with letting go of our guilt and shame around past mistakes around money. So what if somebody comes to you and they haven't done anything? This is their second, third year. They're not making much money. And it's all over the place. How do you help them through that?
Usually when folks come to me, they recognize what's going on, how they've maybe contributed to the problem. They're sharing that with me up front and they're looking for a solution. And usually we always start with like, how are you organizing your financial record first place? Let's make sure that the data reports, so in your bookkeeping, we talk those three reports, the profit and loss, balance sheet, and statement of cash flows. Is the data on those accurate? That's my job, is like looking for accuracy. And then sitting down and trying to understand what kind of decisions they've made, where that it might have been misguided, and looking at, we can maybe set up some routine or habit for them that's going to help them be a little bit wise. Because like, I would say the most common mindset come to me with is like feeling scatterbrained or just out of control. If you don't have a organizational system, you are not in control of your finances and you can't even be sure what's going on. So getting clear with the data first, making sure that it's accurate, always the starting point for folks. And from there, that kind of eases up the guilt game a little bit. At least I've done something today to get more organized. At least I've taken the first step to a new habit in the way I run my business that is actually going to support me feeling empowered under my numbers. Does that make sense?
It does. And I know that you are a QuickBooks Online Advanced Pro Advisor, and you're certified in doing their payroll. So if I stick with the solopreneur, so I won't go down the payroll thing, but having done payroll at the beginning of my career, you definitely need a professional to help you with all those different taxes. So if you don't have one, guys, go find yourself one. So tell me about, I've acknowledged now, it's okay, I need to get my stuff together, be more conscious about it so that I can send out that energy, because I know manifestation, you don't believe in manifestation, but it's part mindset, right? Our mindsets and our thoughts and our unconscious beliefs, but it's also about taking action. So tell me now about how you don't believe in manifestation, so, but you're a numbers whiz. So tell me how that, even though you manifest all the time. So tell me about how all that comes together.
The hot take about that is I don't have enough evidence that manifestation necessarily works if we just write down what we want in a book and then close the cover and never look at it again. I think that once we've decided we want something, we just naturally are grabbed towards things that are probably going to get us that thing, right? I teach like a money game or gamify making money. And one of those is to look around and pick up. I've done this so many times just with all sorts of like different amounts of money. If I am like curious about where there is money around me, I look around and I find it and I pick it up. And I have a whole podcast on that kind of gamifying money thing, if your listeners want to go check that out. I just, anytime I'm like, wow, I was just thinking about that, or just talking about that with somebody, and then it like happens a week later, I'm like, did I manifest that? Or is this just all chaos and it just linked up? And haven't there been plenty of times when I decided I want something and I just never got it? Like, not sure which column has more weight of like times I wanted something and it just showed up in my lap, or like times that I wanted something and it never happened, or like times that something and I really went out and took a bunch of action to get it and to get there and to get the goal and then got it. I haven't kept good enough track. And I have a math and physics degree. I'm a science person. I really need to have more data to be able to say manifestation works. But I do to challenge my brain with the game of believing that there's money all around me and all I need to do is look around and pick it up. I'll find a $20 bill in my purse that I just apparently shoved in it one day. I start scrolling through Instagram followers and I reach out to somebody who had been interested in an offer and I reach out to them and say, book this offer with me. And they're like, yes. That to me is not really manifesting. Like I'm doing the action of, okay, if I'm going to believe that money is around me and that to just get curious about where it might be, then the action I take is looking around and like discovering that money is abundantly present in my life and just like tap into that.
Mm-hmm. Do you subscribe to the idea that there's plenty of money for everybody?
Yes and no. So the way that money, like currency, works is that they just prints it whenever they decide that they want to, right? So money, like the US dollar, didn't exist a couple hundred years ago. Now it exists and there's billions of it. And then there are like actual barriers for a lot of people in our world to access it. That's a lot of systemic stuff that I might be able to access the abundance of money in my life in a way that somebody else who's in a different identity cannot. And that is a truth. Yes and no, because currency money is abundant. It's everywhere. And I think there's also a difference between like money and then the exchange of value. So if I want a TV that has a certain amount of value to me, there's a certain amount of money I'm willing for a TV. If I find a TV that costs more than that, I'm not paying it. That is not a value I'm willing to give up my money for. So I think if we conflate the idea of money, US dollar or wherever, whatever currency, the country that you live in, conflating like that with value, I don't think that's a one-to-one relationship. Value changes over time. You have a different idea of what is valuable than I do, than somebody else does. Like that is different for everybody. Value is certainly abundant. It can be created. Like we can create more and more value in the world, mm-hmm. but money is out of our hands, right? Like mm-hmm. for the most part.
Yeah. Thank you for that. So I want to hear your perspective on how we all have different stories and beliefs about mm-hmm. making or even having money.
Yeah.
So tell me what your perspective is on this.
So I'll just share my personal thoughts about both of those things. I think that I can make money pretty easily. I can just come up with offers. I get very creative about like how to give value to my clients and I can make new offers and I have a lot of fun doing that. And then when it comes to having money, I have thoughts about anytime money comes to me, like a client pays their invoice, I immediately turn around and it's owed to somebody else. A credit card payment, a bill is due, whatever. So having money to me, my thought is that I don't have it for very long. If it comes in, it's almost immediately somewhere else that it needs to go in order for me to keep up with my life and all that. Like I've done a lot of work on my thoughts about making money, and I do believe that I can make a good amount of money. I just had $10,000 cash collected a month, which was pretty exciting for me and also terrifying at the same time. I had a mini panic attack about it. But having money, I'm like, oh, I'm good on the money. I can make some money. But then having money and holding it and not being afraid that it's going to slip through my grasp or slip through my fingers almost immediately when it comes in, that is a whole new mindset that I am working to shift. But that's a little bit more. So that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, that's a really good place that you've to be, is that you've worked through being able to attract it. And now you're in the law of circulation of where you are bringing it in. I've adopted this practice. So I'm curious to find out if it resonates with you, is that when I've attracted money, And I do know that I need to then cover some type of expense, is that I first, before I do anything, is that I am grateful for it. I take a moment and bless it coming through to me, and I feel into it, whether it's $6.13, which I have something that comes to me every month for $6.13. And when I get a much larger amount, is that no matter the amount, I acknowledge it and thank it for making its way to me. And then as I pay, like if I pay for, say, my Zoom that we're doing the interview on, is that as I take care of it, even though it's an auto pay, and I see it that day, that I will bless it that I have the ability to take care of it. How does that resonate with you? Do you do something similar, a similar practice?
I don't know if I would necessarily call it like a gratitude practice, but I definitely have developed an intentional practice of celebrating when money comes in. I go to my group chats and my kind of business colleagues, and I just, somebody paid their invoice today, or hey, I just had my first $10,000 a month, which completely blew my mind. And so now I've try to develop the practice of when money is coming in any way, like celebrating it, being like, yes, like it's an amazing day. This happened. I did this. Like I created that value and with the work that I do and the thoughts that I think, the mindset that I have, and I'm going to be practicing thinking like I can make $10,000 in 30 days. That is possible. I've proven that possible for myself. So now I'm like, okay, I got to keep feeling that, because it was scary when I realized that was going to happen. I was, oh, snap. And I just had to sit down for a second, do some deep breaths. But since that, since I like processed that, now I'm like, okay, like I'm somebody who makes $10,000 in 30 days. That's not only possible for me, it's already happened. I'm going to do it again. And so trying to really feel and embody that like experience and keep bringing it for myself. I don't know if that's similar to what you were saying with feeling grateful and blessing it before to take care of something for yourself.
I think it's similar. I think it's our own unique way of doing something, in essence, that's the same. The celebration of it is that it's the feeling that's behind the universe going, okay, you are respecting your money. Yeah. I read something probably 20 years ago now by Susie Orman, and it was one of her, it was a really big book when I went down to start getting financial, personal financial education. And it was about respecting our money. Was I showing respect? And since then, and since my own evolution around money and understanding that my I have a relationship with my money, am I respectful of this relationship? How do I talk to my money? How do I treat my money? Just like I'm talking to you, Reagan. Am I respectful to that? How do your clients think about their relationship with their money?
I have some clients that are doctors, and if anybody understands what that means for folks who are doctors in the United States, that just means that they're in a ton of student loan debt. And they were the first people that came whenever you said that. And it's just, yep, I'm just in debt up to my eyeballs. That's just my experience. And for me, I've had to overcome a lot of thoughts and mindset about debt being like wrong or dirty or like a problem. I've talked to them about it, and they've just been like, yeah, you're in business. Who's in business just has like debt. And I have done some work on the way I talk to money as if it were a person, and what kind of relationship do I have with that. That's why I decided to go into the kind of positive, intentional celebration of money, because that to me, I can tap into that pretty well. And that feels good and right, and not like I'm trying to fit like, why wouldn't I celebrate that somebody paid their invoice? Like that just feels so natural to me. But the way that my clients show up, I don't really have anybody that I work with that doesn't see the money that they make as like value or They see it as value that they've given to somebody else. They have patients, they have customers that need help with something. My clients get to show up and fulfill that need or make that wish come true. For a lot of them, I see that as they're creating, they believe that they're creating more value in the world. And that's the kind of relationship that they have, is that they've created value for somebody else. And what was exchanged for that? Money.
I like to see of it as like the energetic exchange, that we are of service to others and we are helping them solve a problem.
Right.
I like that they have that. You touched on something really interesting, which is debt. I recently had a workshop called Purpose, Debt, and Savings that I did. And I found that most people have debt. I currently have student loan debt myself. I really empathize with the physicians, and having worked in healthcare for so many years, I see that, right? Physicians, most of them have debt to become doctors. Even though they might make a great living, they have a lot of debt to being able to get there. You help people with understanding or letting go, really, of being fearful of this debt in their bookkeeping.
I can't say that I work with too many people afraid of debt. I'm thinking about it. All of my clients have debt, and in different, so many different ways, like student loans, of course, cards, business lines of credit. There's even a client that borrowed their corporate retirement plan to fund their business. There was some sort of like loan situation that happened there. But it's probably would tell me or you or whoever that like debt allowed to create what they do, allowed them to have a business, is something that you can leverage. You're going to loan me money for cheap. And so I would say that they don't really have a lot of fear about it. It's just like a neutral thing. Like it's just something that they have, and they, I think like business owners, entrepreneurs sympathize with each other about debt because it's like everybody has it. So what? Like I had to take a loan from my 401k to start this, not me personally, but my client. Like that's the reason that I have a thriving business. And I was able to start up with a lot of equipment and workforce needs to create my business. So I don't know that they have a lot of like fear or insecurity about debt specifically. We would probably all like to pay off our debt at some point, because that's just what we've been told by our culture. Like growing up, it's just always, here's how to pay off your $10 million of credit cards, or consolidate your students now, blah, blah, blah. Like we've all been told that we should want to pay off our debt. People just go through life like always having some form of debt. If you're going to be afraid of it, I don't know how that is going to serve you. But if you realize that debt will allow you to create things, like it allows people to buy homes and cars and start businesses, it can be a creative force instead of something that, like a rain cloud hanging over your head as you move through the world. It's all about framing.
I know there's a lot of different emotions involved with having the debt. Wouldn't it be interesting if we all went to a dinner party and we all held up something, right? Like a card, like you would see at an auction, and it lists out your debt. Can you imagine how freeing that would be? Because people don't really talk about their debt.
I think you would be surprised at how many people have a significant amount of debt in relation to their income, let's say, their business revenue. And then to me, that kind of allows me to let go of some of your guilt about it. Everybody else is like experiencing the same thing other people have than I do, and they're fine. Why am I freaking out? Like, to me, it'll me to release a little bit of that for myself.
That's a good way to be able to think about it. What are the three tips that you would give an entrepreneur with their bookkeeping? How frequently should they be looking at their stuff?
My first tip would be, we talked about keeping things separate. Go ahead and set up a business checking account. You can go to the IRS website and apply for an employer identification number. It's an EIN, and that is free to apply for that just as a sole proprietor. You can literally take that to the bank and have them set you up a separate business checking account. That is my first tip, is just keeping those things separate if you aren't already. The second tip that I have for folks, especially with people that are like, oh my gosh, like I've been doing this for how long and I don't have a system of organization. When I think about all of the years that I haven't done it, it's overwhelming. Start today with your receipts in one place, with downloading last month's bank statement. Start today. One small thing that you can build a habit on: going back and downloading last month's bank statement. One thing that you're doing to move in the direction of better financial organization. The third tip for that, because you might think, if I start this now, this is going to go down a rabbit hole and I will not have, I'll waste my entire weekend. Set a timer, set a time for yourself every week to gather receipts, download a bank statement, look at your expenses, look at your reports. 15 minutes a week is all you need. Set a time to do it, put it on your calendar, and then set a timer. You need to have something that dings at you to say, you're done. No more going down that hole. You don't need to indulge in the disorganization very long. If you build up this habit of 15 minutes a week of just some organization, putting things in one place, looking at your bank statements or your reports, like that will set you up on the right track. And to me, I think that those small steps are a lot easier to conceptualize, and then that will make any backlog that you might have easier. It will be less daunting once you have a habit of kind of dealing with this information a little.
I like that tip. Yeah. I have found that if I've gotten behind like over a month, generally I'm pretty good about my habit of looking at my finances weekly to plan out. Yeah. And then I have a budget, a personal budget, and I have a business budget. I know what's coming up because it helps me make decisions. Always learning, like yourself. Am I going to go get this certification? Am I going to go take this? I've realized I have a conscious incompetency in something. But I look at the finances and I'm balancing, where is it at? At what point will I be able to do this as well? I have one last question. Uh-huh. You're trying to figure out at what point am I able to jump and start my spiritual online practice or my coaching practice? How would you have them prepare themselves for this jump for looking at their financials and their bookkeeping?
I quit a job of 7 years and started my business without any transition between the two. I wasn't any sort of side hustle. I just stopped and then started my business. And I try to think about, if I go back and do it again, would I do it differently? And I'm like, no, there were reasons. But I think that understanding really what with your personal finances on a regular basis, weekly or monthly, what kind of do you need to have funds to pay for? Do you have any other sort of financial support? I'm married. My husband has a salary job. We have that regularly coming in. We're not necessarily just relying on my business support our income, but looking at what other kind of financial support you have coming in, savings you've got going on. If you have available credit on credit cards, that is a thing that people just, I don't think, take into consideration. I'm like, personal credit, if you have cards like with available credit, like you can definitely utilize that towards starting up your business. And that's what I did whenever I started mine. I had one credit card that I completely paid off. I had one that I had paid down significantly. I had savings as well. I've got my husband's salary coming. I had all these different types of financial support around me that were able to lift me up to be able to do the work that I needed to do to grow. And that work was tapping into the network that I've already got with other professionals. I think like your finances is very important, but I want folks to know that you have got to let people know what you're doing. If in any way you receive new clients or customers or business through referrals, leverage that, like start building those relationships with people now, start really deepening those relationships and showing up and letting people know that this is what intentions are. And a big part of that is going to be referrals. People will hear you when you say that, but you've got to say it to them multiple times. Really focusing on building relationships with people who can refer you clients. Most of my business is referrals. I have to really dive into that asset consistently. It's like as an asset, but these are other people. I have relationships with them, but also I know that they want to help me and help my business. And they know that if they refer somebody to me, that I'm going to take care of them. So building those relationships, especially when it comes to coaching, a referral through word of mouth or through a friend or a family member is going to go much further than a Facebook ad can. Will go much further than an email subscription notice or whatever. Yes, have your financial supports in place, but also have your referral network relationships really solid before you make that step. And then let people know that you're making this.
That's a really important tip, mm-hmm. is to realize what type of support you have. Mm-hmm. Start working on the transition before you transition.
Yeah.
And tapping into who you know and how your service could provide them value.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes it comes in the form of you offering to do stuff for free up front. Like when you start your business, my services were heavily discounted when I started. I offered discounts to clients for a while. I let people know what I was doing. And I said, because asking you to come in on the ground floor and to help me get started, you're going to receive discounts, some sort of benefit for making this decision now. You can come work with me next year, but if you mean now, this is a long-term kind of deal for me. And so I will have those long-term goal relationships with my clients and the people that refer clients to. Mm-hmm.
That's powerful. Who do you serve for your bookkeeping services?
I serve clients across industry. I've got people in the healthcare fields. I have folks that run marketing firms. I work with a lot of creatives too, like artists, people that craft and sell whatever they make. I worked with a lot of candle businesses, like professional legal services. I love those folks because I feel like an accountant and like maybe a lawyer or people that are marketing, I feel like we're just on the B2B level. I really love working with like restaurants and other retail kind of industry folks too.
Mm-hmm. That's great. How can they reach you, Reagan?
I have a website. It's alleasaccount.com. I have a weekly podcast called Money Through, where we discuss all things small business finance. I promise it's not boring. I promise we don't do math over. We really just talk about what is the experience for small businesses in the United States, started, operating, hiring people, all that good stuff.
Money Through Ease. All your social handles are...
pretty much all Ease Accounting across the board.
All Ease Accounting. Thank you so much for being here, Reagan.
Thank you.
I so appreciate your time and all of the wisdom that you shared and really about letting go of our fears.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. If you enjoyed this Light Up Your Worth episode, be sure to share with a soulful friend who needs to hear this message. Thanks so much for listening and being part of the Light Up Your Worth community. My heart is full of gratitude for you. You are my inspiration to shine the light of spiritual, heart-centered women. Now go out there and shine your own light. Sending you sunshine.